Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows.
Oh, good evening, everyone. It is 8 o'clock in the p.m. Toronto time. It is Monday, March the 4th, 2024. This is the All Shots Clot Show, where we talk about your clotting shottings. It is an open phone show where you call in to our numbers that are scrolling on the screen. Fake 11, or sorry, 810-666-1984 or 902-400-1984. Or you can call me on Skype. Username is Fakeologist. And what else? You can also hit me up on the Discord, fake11.com/discord. And we will look at vaccine injury news for this week, almost 3 full years into this. No, yeah, is it 3 full years? 20 to 21, 21 to 22, 20... 2 to 23. Yeah, it's 3 full years, and the fourth year begins on 3/11/2024. And even back then, I said this would be a 10-year operation. I'm not sure where I got that from. I must have heard that from somewhere. But the point of this is to allow you to air out your injuries, your stories, or anything else you want to talk about COVID and the vaccine. I'm personally bored about talking about it, but I still think it's relevant to this day. And we are streaming live on FakoTube, YouTube, DLive, Twitter, and Odyssey. Is anyone on Odyssey? I don't even know. All right, well, there. I want to thank a few people. I got a recent donation from Henrik in Sweden. Thank you so much, Henrik. And this is a user-supported value-for-value program, so you pay whatever you think the show is worth. And I have to admit, the users of the Fakeologist All Shots Clot Network are very generous. I really appreciate it. This is a part-time gig for me, so I do put some energy into it, but you can only do so much when you work full-time and a slave job, as I do. I know I got a couple people say, "Oh, I can't believe you do this, and you have enough time to do all the posts, all the FakoTube, all the forums." Yeah, and it's a lot. I agree, and it's sort of to the detriment of my other aspects of my life, but my wife is very understanding, and she thinks it's fine that I follow my passion of playing talk show host. It does take energy and takes a lot of time, but on the other hand, I still think it's worth it. And she's understanding, so we'll keep doing it as long as we enjoy it. And if you aren't aware, well, almost everyone here is aware that we do a regular Fakeologist type show, and we do audio chats. And I just isolated All Shots Clot because I just thought that this was going to be bigger as the years go by. And I think I'm right. Let's make sure we're streaming on FakoTube. And, oh, we're not streaming on FakoTube. That's why FakoTube's not working tonight. That's kind of strange. FakoTube's been so reliable. What the hey-ho is going on with the FakoTube? That is not good. Let me just clear the caches on FakoTube. Oh, now we're streaming on FakoTube. I guess it's a little slow. There we go. I just got the message that it should be streaming. It's just slow. And while I'm stalling, Just know that we're waiting for your phone call, so anyone can call in. And the number again is 810-666-1984-902-400-1984. And where is the live? I just have to get the live window up here on the FACO tube. So just give me a second here. It's obviously extremely sluggish. Most of the donations from Fakeologists, to Fakeologists rather, go to the FACO tube platform, which is our own video platform. It's not censored by any of the major platforms because we own it. Yes, you are. It is a user-supported platform, and you help support it. So I'm super thankful that all you people are donating. Now, as you can also see on FakoTube, I posted quite a few videos today, and I don't just talk about the vaccine. We talk about anything and everything fake, including the vaccines, including COVID, and we talk about politics. We talk about history, we talk about nukes, we talk, of course, about 9/11, and we do a lot of talking for sure. But All Shots Clot, again, is a separate blog, and I will highlight it right here. If you go to the main page, you can see there's All Shots Clot right here, and we're going to load that up. And why don't I play a few videos? I haven't put a lot of videos up on in the last week, but here they are here. So here's Chris Sky. He does a lot of good stuff. A lot of people think he's controlled, but he puts out way too much stuff for me to care about that. So here we go. Oh, look, an advertisement. Wow, an advertisement on BitChute. Gotta like it. Okay, here we go.
Everybody around the world has been waiting for smoking gun evidence to prove just how dangerous this so-called COVID vaccine was. Well, the National Statistics Office in the UK just released a subset of data for 18 to 39-year-olds, and they showed unvaccinated versus single vaccinated versus quad or four vaccines. And what would you see? In every single month, the lowest mortality rate was from the unvaccinated. One dose of vaccine increased your chance of death. Four doses of the vaccine increased your chances of death up to 300%. Between 220 to over 300% in every single month. The four-time vaccinated people, 18 to 39,
oh, sorry about that. Oops, I pressed the wrong button. Okay, here's the Fakeologist FakoTube live stream going. So let me just get this up and going, as I said I was going to do, and then I'll get Chris Guy. I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to get the FakoTube chat going on here so we can see all our wonderful FakoTube chatter. So hi to Mr. Five, unknown user, and Not Shocked. And yeah, Not Shocked. Hello. Steve83 won't load for me either. YouTube is up. And okay, there we go. So it is working on FakoTube. I'm sorry, guys, for the delay. I'm real sorry about that, but it is working now. So let's finish listening to Mr. Chris Sky here and see if we can get him going. He is on All Shots Clot. So let's get that. Let's get that up here. And let me just find it here, get my way. Where is All Shots Clot? Hold on a sec. I'm a little off my game right now. And I'll have to bring it up again. AllShotsClot.com. And back to Chris Sky.
I'm expecting something big.
And they have
August
commercials
19,
now on BitChute.
That could radically...
Another reason why
one
you got to support
FakoTube. Increased your chance of death. Four doses of the vaccine increased your chances of death up to 300%. Between 220 to over 300% in every single month. The four-time vaccinated people, 18 to 39, are dying 3 times the rate of the unvaccinated. And that is just the 18 to 39-year-olds. It's going to be even worse for the older people. So, everybody, here is the smoking gun evidence that the bioweapon called the vaccine is 100% designed to kill you.
Absolutely. So here's some data here. And I think the United Kingdom government changed the excess deaths way of measuring the statistic to skew it away from the excess deaths. That's pretty ugly, though. Pretty ugly numbers. It's interesting. They go from unvaccinated to one dose vaccinated to 4 dose vaccinated. What about the 2 dose and the 3 dose? Why would they jump over those 2 categories, I wonder? Anyway, Chris Sky is doing a lot of good work. There's a few go-to guys that I would recommend. And Chris Sky is definitely one of them. Okay, and what else do we have here? Oh, somebody making fun of Chris Sky. Okay. All right. What else do we have here? So we'll go back to allshotsclot.com and see what else we posted here. This is something from Alex Zek. I like this guy. And he is talking about the age-old question. If you don't believe in contagion and you don't believe in pathogenic viruses, then what makes you sick? And I thought this was a really good answer, so we'll play Alex Zek.
Something that I'm asked pretty often by those who don't understand my position on virology is, okay, Alec, if it's not a virus that's making me sick, then what could possibly be making me sick? And my answer is, I don't know, maybe poor nutrition, herbicides and pesticides, stress, mold, perpetual fear, overuse of pharmaceuticals, poor sleep, poor gut health, heavy metals, toxic skin products, EMF exposure, dental procedures, toxic air fresheners, toxic cleaning products, lack of community, overuse of antibiotics, overconsumption of sugar, pasteurized inorganic dairy, fast food, processed foods, refined grains, lack of time in nature, lack of exercise, poor detox pathways, unhealed trauma, vegetable oils, toxic tap water, lack of minerals, soda, overconsumption of alcohol, smoking, poor oral hygiene, chemtrails, shots, and so many other things. The reality is, because we're so myopically focused on this unproven idea of submicroscopic particles that are passing person to person, we are ignoring all of the many other things that we know are making us sick.
All right. Thank you, Alex Zek. And he has a blog or a Substack. I think it's called Alex Zek. Let me see here. Substack. Let's just do a quick search on Yandex. Oh, he's a doctor, actually. Is he a doctor? No. No, he's not. Okay. So I'll put a link to his Substack on here. And this will show up on allshotsclot.com. And I'm going to, that's where I keep all the show notes. So if you want to keep up with the show notes, just go to allshotsclot.com. And everything I talk about, I try and remember to add into the show notes. And don't forget, we'll take your calls tonight, 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. And thank you, everyone, for listening in. We've got Colorado, Michigan, Lisbon, Lexington, Kentucky, someone in the Ukraine, and Chicago. If you're in the Ukraine, call me on Skype. That would be pretty bizarre. I think so Ukraine is listening in on our audio at fake11.com/stream1. And my Fake 11, I was messing around with the Fake 11 short code, so I don't know if that's actually working properly right now. I should just have a quick peek and see if I didn't screw that up. I think it's okay. Let's see here. Let's see if I can get the radio. Fake11.com/stream1 should bring up the audio streaming service here. So just give me a second here. And I'll say hi to Boris. He says it's 3 a.m. in Europe. Wow. Okay, let's... Okay, my fake11.com thing isn't working right. I buggered it up. As usual, something went wrong, but I'll have to fix that after the show. And what else do we have here? I don't believe in terrain theory. That's the other thing I like to talk about. And this is something he posted. Oh, this is from a long time ago, October 3rd, 2023. I guess he's not keeping this thing very up to date. Interesting. So maybe he's keeping things up to date on Twitter. Alec Zach. Okay. And is he? Yes, he is. So what's he talking about? Okay, he's talking about all kinds of different truths, birth certificates, trust, social security, the Uniform Commercial Code, the War Powers Act. He's going down those rabbit holes. Okay. I think you, Greg, did you just try and call? Oh, here we go.
Hold time, 1 minute, 18 seconds.
Hey, Greg, sorry, I didn't see the call come in. I should have looked more closely because I turned the bell off. How you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you, Tim?
I'm not too badly, thanks. We're just waiting for calls on vaccine death and injury. So what's your take on that? I know we've talked to you before on it, but have you anything new this week or the past few weeks since we've chatted on the, on this topic?
Well, I was wondering how we know for sure that the vaccines are causing sickness or disease or death. Do we know for sure?
Nope, we don't. But we know there's been we know that the first year of COVID's 2020, the excess deaths went down or was negative. So something went up in correspondence with the vaccine program.
Right. There's a correlation between the excess deaths and the vaccine rollout. But that's not 100% proof that the vaccines are the cause, is it?
It's absolutely not proof. But on the other hand, in absence of any kind of proof, we can only just speculate. And it certainly seems to be some sort of cause and effect going on.
It's not 100% proof, but it's evidence that it could be the vaccine.
There's no way to 100% prove it because there's no way anyone's going to study it except the people that are outside the system and not benefiting in the same way as those inside the system. So it is a perfect thing to unleash on the public without really being detected. So I would agree. It's very difficult.
Yes.
That's why it's still going on. I mean, when someone shoots someone in the head and they fall down and die, that's pretty clear evidence. But when it's such a slow kill, as I am suspecting, then it's really difficult. But that's why people like Denny Rancourt, and I was going to play his video next, that's when he doesn't ever say it's the cause of death. He just says there are excess deaths after the COVID vaccine rollout.
Yes, now,
did anything else happen correlating to the deaths during that period of time? I don't think so. Not in the same organized, militarized way.
Right. Nothing that's been studied at any rate.
Well, it's not going to be studied.
But not... Right.
And that's why we're really speculating. I agree with you. It's This is rank speculation, but I am at least putting the doubt in people's minds that this is ongoing and this is happening, where other people don't even talk about it. That's why I try and bring in callers to see what they have to say on the topic, see if they can draw any correlation or causation.
Right. Well, so the thing is, so there isn't any scientific evidence for a virus, and they say that there is a virus in the vaccine.
Well, I haven't heard anyone say that. I don't say that.
Well, that they say that's how it works. They say that's how the vaccine works, that it has a virus in it.
It has a denatured protein, right. Yes. Yes, okay.
Or they also call it an attenuated virus is another thing they say.
Okay, that's
correct.
But
they say for sure that there's a virus in it, and that's how these vaccines work, because it exposes your quote immune system unquote to this weakened form of the quote virus unquote.
Yes, non-virulent form. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
When you encounter a more powerful version of it in the wild, your quote immune system unquote has already been trained in how to defend your body against it, which is a big fantastic story, really.
Yes.
So, in the absence of any scientific evidence for viruses, there's no need for a vaccine, and then second off, there's not even any possibility for a vaccine, because they haven't got a virus. So how could they have a virus in the vaccine?
All right, exactly. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I don't ever hear anyone go down that path, but that's a pretty good point.
Well, it all comes down to there not being any scientific evidence for a virus. Like there's non-scientific evidence, but aren't we supposed to be enlightened people, and we take science as definitive proof of something nowadays? Like, aren't we supposed to be looking for scientific evidence? And there isn't any of that for viruses. So
yeah,
there's other evidence, though, but it's not scientific. But there's just, for most people, it's just rumors. There's rumors as virus.
Yeah, well, I agree with you.
I heard from somebody.
Yeah, how can you put an attenuated virus when you can't isolate one in the first place? And no one has isolated any virus ever. Which is what Christine Massey talks about.
And even Christian Drosten.
Right.
Mike Stone just posted a quote from him on Twitter, with Christian Drosten saying that the cell culture isolation method of isolating virus has rarely ever succeeded in isolating a virus. Well, not just rarely, Christian, never.
Mm-hmm.
But even him. Even he is admitting that this thing is very, very tenuous.
I think they all admit everything as they go along, and people just don't listen because they're not listening to things they disagree with.
They just listen to their friends who say their family was sick and there's a virus going around and you better get vaccinated and that sort of thing. It's just sort of just rumors circulating. Nobody's looking at primary sources or anything, or paying attention.
Yeah.
Not a lot of thinking going on.
Are you getting fatigued on this topic? Like, I suppose many others are getting fatigued. I get fatigued on it.
Oh, fatigued?
Yeah.
This
whole topic, does it fatigue you?
No, because there's still a lot more to learn. There's still some things I don't understand. Like, I don't understand exactly how the PCR test works. I don't understand exactly how genomics is supposed to work, where they sequence the genome of the alleged virus. I don't understand that exactly. But there's still quite a few things for me to learn about it, about mm-hmm. the whole the whole field of virology.
Right.
But I'm not on it every day, but I do come back to it after breaks. Like I bought the end of COVID thing that Alex Zek made that came out last summer.
Okay, that was good of you.
Hey, I'm still only halfway through it. Like I just started the third module, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And that goes really in depth on you know, the whole COVID psyop. But I think it's definitely worth knowing all the details just so you can, one, know what people are talking about when they talk about this stuff, and then so secondly you can also see how it's not valid, this stuff that they're saying, because they haven't isolated anything. So how can they sequence a genome of anything? They don't know what they have. It could be anything, this genome. Uh-huh. Why is that valid? And you know, people on Twitter often post, like people on the no virus side often post quotes from doctors, like from like the early 19th century or the early 20th century, the late 19th century. And it seems like there was like a lot more genuine science going on back then. Like there were a lot more people who were able to speak up and say things that were outside of the mainstream consensus. And it seems like there's very little of that today. But yeah, whenever anyone posts something, that the people always say, well, this is from 100 years ago. That doesn't matter. It's still valid. Like,
yeah.
And they say, we've moved on since then. We have different ways of doing things now. But there's no foundation for anything. They never had a foundation. And it's still valid what they were saying 100 years ago. It's pretty crazy. It's belief. People have this belief. People just seem to love poison. They just love this idea that there's this poison, although they don't consider it a poison, the believers, but that there's this thing they can inject in themselves and it'll cure them, not just for vaccines, but for
yeah. Well, medicine. People are addicted to their pharmaceuticals. That's been going on a long time. So a vaccine is just another pharmaceutical to add to the pile, for sure.
Yes.
So I agree. It's the belief in taking a drug for something is very strong.
Yes, it is.
It's very strong. Absolutely.
It's been ingrained into people since they were children. Since we were children, we've been taught that this is how healing works. When you have symptoms, when you're sick, you take medicine. It's so indoctrinated. It's a program that everyone is indoctrinated with, and it's hard to reject that program or to undermine it. It's painful.
It is. So what about you, around you? Have you seen any more evidence of injury? Are you, the people around you, keeping up with the, what I think we're at the ninth shot?
Oh, really? I don't know. I think my dad isn't getting them anymore. And he was showing me something on the computer. He was watching some COVID inquiry or something. It was some Canadian guy. And he said it was all a scam. He regrets getting the vaxes now. So I don't think he's going to get any more.
Whoa, he has regrets. That's interesting. That's a pretty good development.
Should have never taken it, he said. And it's all a scam. And my dad, he was he sold like veterinary medicine. Like that was his career.
Oh, really?
He's like a salesman of
drugs.
Like he'd go around, yeah, of drugs for animals. Like he'd go around to farms.
Yeah.
And so he totally believes in vaccines.
What's his take now? Just for animals?
I don't think. Oh, for animals? I don't know, but I think he thinks the COVID thing is you know, fake, and he shouldn't have gotten the vaccines. But I probably still believes in animal vaccines mm-hmm. since that was his career.
Hey, let me say thank you to Alexis R, who made a donation to Fakeologist. Thank you very much. Quality broadcaster. Well, I appreciate that, Alexis. Thank you so much for making a donation to the Fakeologist Network, including allshotsclot.com. I really appreciate that. And, of course, Greg, I'll thank you, as you are a monthly donor. So thank you once more.
You're welcome.
It's very kind. Very kind of you. I know today's show is a little more boring because it's hard. I tried to do this with the Facebook group, which would have been a real bonanza if we could capture all those Facebook people that are on the Died Suddenly page. But as we all know, that didn't work out, trying to stay on Facebook and keep going at the same time with that other guy who was promoting it. Or that was his page, actually, not mine.
Tiago.
Yeah, Tiago. But it would have been so much better if we had that massive, massive group of people that were just congregating on Facebook. Mostly women, I guess. Because they,
yeah,
when the calls were actually coming through fast and furious when we stuck our fishing pole in that river. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there were a lot of people calling in, a lot of women calling in.
Well, it was mainly in the U.S. too. It's just, this shows you the power of platforms. People go to the platforms they are familiar with. And if only we could get some of them to come into allshotsclot.com. I'll have to figure out a better way to try and market the website just to people know, let people know, because I only need a couple calls to fill up the hour for sure. And I'm sure there are people, maybe not as much in Canada, but I think in the U.S., in many areas of the U.S., I think what's going on is more dramatic than, say, here in Canada. That's my, mm-hmm. Since this was a Department of Defense bioweapon, and I'll point out that the best information so far that I think is legit, outside of, say, Denny Rancourt in this video and all the work he's doing, is Catherine Watt of bailiwick.substack.com, pointing out how this mm-hmm. is a Department of Defense military bioweapon. And I don't think...
Right.
And maybe it is new technology. I do believe this lipid nanoparticle is some kind of delivery system, so I think that's probably a new style of vaccine that probably is causing even more problems than other vaccines in general. What's your take?
Well, if they are poison, and if there are evil people who are behind them, they probably would be quite quite excited or quite interested in seeing what sort of nefarious or evil things they could do what kind of different poisons they could to come up with to see what they do. That's a big, you know, if that's a,
what do you think of Denny Rancourt?
Yeah, he does good work. I don't think I've really read to the end anything he's written outside of Twitter, but I see him on Twitter, and I think he's come around to the view now that he said he's not even convinced that there are viruses. He said that in a video call he did with Eve Kirsch.
Well, that's good. I didn't even finish watching the Steve Kirsch thing. I got sidetracked because I have so many other interests besides this one. But yeah, it's good to see that people progress naturally to the truth. And the fact that he is moving towards it at his own pace, but he's still getting to the what we think is the truth, to me, legitimizes him.
So. Well, it is true that there is no scientific evidence for viruses, because for something to be scientific, it has to be done in accord with the scientific method, and the evidence that we have for viruses is not done in accord with the scientific method. So by definition, it isn't scientific. That's true by definition.
Yeah. And you have to be able to duplicate it. Anyone with the same circumstances has to be able to duplicate it and produce similar results. Knock Shock says, Greg is a great caller-inner. There you go.
Thank you, Not Shocked. I've heard Not Shocked on the audio calls.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Jeff is really good. He's down there in Atlanta, very respectful caller and conversationalist and participant. We have some great contributors on the Fakeologist Network. We just have to get, because today is Monday and it's a different kind of show, I don't think that we're really going to get the average fakeologist calling in today. The show is open to anybody. They don't have to be a fakeologist. We just want to hear from people that have stories that they don't have anyone else to talk to about, even their own family or doctor. So we have to figure out a way to get the word out that we have an open phone today.
Have you tweeted about it on Twitter?
No, I haven't been very good about it. No, I haven't been very good at it. I'll have to do a little bit better on Sunday into Monday to get the idea out. Do you think Twitter's the best place to go for that?
Make a pin tweet.
Yeah.
And maybe like retweet it like every day.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That you have this show Mondays and you should call in if you have a story about a vaccine injury.
I have to admit, I'm more on BitChute now than I am on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I go in waves. I was spending a ton of time on Twitter because it's a great way to find new people on any topic. And I know you're on Twitter. Do you use it much? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on it pretty much every day. I usually retweet or respond. I don't usually like make tweets of my own.
Right. Do you think you're getting any reach? Because that's the other thing. They say you can do whatever you want on there, but can anyone see your stuff? Is the question.
It shows there's an analytics page where it shows how many views your tweets have had.
Yeah.
I used to have that open. So let's see here. Impressions. So I don't know if that means if someone read it or if they just scrolled by it. Some tweets I made today have 3 impressions, 2 impressions, 3 impressions, 7, 7. One has 41 impressions. One has 21.
Yeah.
One had 168. Okay, that one did okay. But yeah, most of them are just like single or double digits.
I'll give you this guy named Larry Cook at Stop Vaccinating on Twitter. He's probably the mm-hmm. most anti-vax person I've seen on Twitter that's still here. And he is just completely anti-vax, which if you're against the COVID vaccine, it's only logical that you would follow that pathway down to all vaccines. And he is extremely clear in his wording. Vaccines kill babies. Pediatricians call it a coincidence. Medical examiners call it SIDS. Parents call it murder. The vax industry calls it profit. Community Notes calls it false. The CDC calls it progress. Democrats call it mandatory. What do you call it? So, and this one says, I call it corporate Munchausen syndrome by proxy. The Munchausen family actually officially does not want you using their name anymore. They've disowned. They do not want to be associated with this so-called disease of the mind. I don't think it's called that anymore.
I thought it was based on like that character from like fiction, Baron Munchausen.
Actually, maybe I'm thinking of the Heimlich maneuver. The Heimlich people don't want it. Okay, maybe I'm mixing it up. Okay, sorry. Let's just see here. Munchausen syndrome by proxy. I think the Munchausen people don't want it used anymore. Now it's called the factitious disorder imposed on another, FDIA, also known as fabricated or induced illness by carers. Okay. It was first named as the Munchausen syndrome by proxy. So I think they did protest and want it not used anymore. So now it's the factitious disorder imposed on by others.
That's not going to catch on. Everybody's going to call it Munchausen because that's easy to remember. And because I think the character, he's like sort of like he tells like fabulous tales, right? So that's related to the people who are projecting their imagination onto the other person.
It was first described by British endocrinologist and hematologist Richard Asher in 1951 as when someone invents or exaggerates medical symptoms, sometimes engaging in self-harm to gain sympathy or attention.
That part of it.
The term Munchausen syndrome by proxy was first coined by John Money and June Faith Wuerlwaas in a 1976 paper called Folie à deux in the Parents of Psychosocial Dwarfs, two cases to describe the abuse-induced and neglect-induced symptoms of the syndrome of abuse dwarfism. That same year, Sneed and Bell wrote an article called The Dauphin of Munchausen, Factitious Passage of Renal Stones in a Child. Okay. That still doesn't really explain where it came from, but...
No, it doesn't.
Okay, very interesting. So this is another controversial subject as well. So, anyone wants to look into that, I'll put a show note as well. That's kind of interesting. But yeah, you know, the whole idea that you're sick but have no symptoms, this asymptomatic idea, is absolutely ridiculous. And it really is a form of factitious disorder imposed on by others. It really does line up pretty good with this syndrome, if you want to call it that, don't you think? I really think it is.
Yeah, it does. That's insanity. Asymptomatic illness. Mm-hmm. It's a logic error. It's saying no symptoms are symptoms, because how is sickness identified other than through symptoms? So they're saying that not having any symptoms is a symptom. It's just nonsense.
It is ridiculous.
Although I suppose people say that a positive test then that indicates that you actually have the sickness then. I guess the positive test is a symptom or something, but that's nonsense because the tests are tests and not symptoms.
Yeah, Not Shock says we could push it on Facebook. Yeah, I'm not in Facebook anymore, so I keep getting kicked off, so I'm not going to waste my time anymore. So if any of you guys are on Facebook and want to push the phone number, push the website, push the date of Monday at 8 o'clock, that would be great. We could really use a little push. We only need one or two calls to make the show interesting, so if you guys could help out. I think really almost anyone knows someone that could call in, because this is happening everywhere in the world. Again, more in the United States, but I think everyone has a story. I don't know very many people, but I've heard of a couple more cases in the last 2 weeks of people just dying suddenly in their 50s, which is too young. That's too young. Okay, so this is the guy on Twitter, Larry Cook. Is there anyone you follow on Twitter that might be talking about this topic? Anyone you like?
Let me see. Quite a few people talk about it. I'm in this big mega thread that started a year ago. It was sort of about vaccines, and I always get updates from it. And there's people in that saying, saying good things.
Okay. That sounds good. So there's stop vaccinating this guy. This guy, he's selling some kind of vaccine cleanse or whatever you want to call it. I'm not really big on that, but I suppose if I was sick and desperate, I'd probably try anything. So let's just keep looking here at Larry Cook. What else has he got? Another guy that I wanted to mention is Forrest Moretti. Do you remember that guy?
Yep. Yeah. I saw it. I think he had a space last night or.
Yes. He has his own show now. And he is really good. He's got the Forrest Moretti show. He is really vaccine, anti-vaccine tuned in. Highly recommend him. He is the one that did the crooked video, the crooked book. And I thought it was really bang on.
I saw that book in a used bookstore. Kind of surprised.
Why were you surprised? That it made the bookstore?
That someone had purchased it, because I wouldn't know where it would be found. Like, you have to probably buy it from Amazon. It's probably a print-on-demand book.
Yeah. So I recommend his stuff. I don't know. I didn't listen to the latest one, show number 2. But here's his webpage. And it goes to Substack. Everyone's on Substack. Is this Substack? Yeah, this looks like Substack. Maybe I'm wrong. So what's this on Podbean? I'll play a bit of it. This is a 3-hour show. A little too long for me, but might want to check it out.
In a few weeks, if you don't...
He does have a good sounding mic. It's good audio, so... And usually you can play it through here. Now it's telling me I got to download the app, which I really don't appreciate. This is why my broadcast and my blog and my platform is way better. I don't make demands on people. So as soon as you start playing it off his website, it tells you to go download the app. It's annoying. So I will... Mm-hmm. I will, let me just do a quick search on FacoTube. And thanks to the 21 people on FacoTube. So thanks everyone for going to FacoTube. It does seem to be working pretty well. So that's really good. Okay, he did a whole series called My Incredible Opinion. And... really, really concise, even up to 10-minute videos. And if you just do a search on Moretti, I put a lot of his stuff online. And you can see, just do a search for Moretti, M-A-R-E-A-Y-E-A-Y-D-Y. M-A-R-E-A-D-Y. Okay. And... I want to see if there's one really standout one that I can play. Good luck with your vaccines. Why would anyone be pro-vaccine? This might have been the first one I put up. Let's play it. Let's hope and pray that FacoTube works.
Are you anti-vaccine or are you pro-vaccine? Is it possible to be both?
No.
I'm Forrest Moretti and this is my incredible opinion. notice a lot of people talking in the press, folks who have gone out on a limb to question vaccines, making careful proclamations that they're not anti-vaccine. I am pro-safe vaccine, they'll say. Most people assume that because you question vaccines, you're anti-medicine, anti-science. Kind of like the Amish, except maybe we drive Corvettes. So they hedge. They don't want to say anything too crazy, too sacrilegious. Let me give you some medical discoveries that I think are amazing. Antibiotics, aspirin, penicillin, CAT scans, MRIs. And every one of them is not without some drawback, some negative cost to the positives they bring. It's a balancing act, managing the trade-offs of good and bad. Here's a real bomb for you. A medical discovery that I think has done far more harm than good. Vaccines. In fact, I think the practice of vaccination will make bloodletting and mercury treatments look like child's play once we've abandoned the practice. Obviously, I'm either a quack, a moron, or a mommy blogger with a hidden agenda. I will assure you that I am none of these things. But one thing I am is anti-vaccine. Anti all of them. Every single one. I used to be pro-vaccine, 100%, without exception. But I started looking at the research. I dug a little deeper than the official stories presented to us on nightly news or daily blogs. And it became clear to me the whole story was not being told. Now, I'm not anti-vaccine in spirit. I love the concept. I think it'd be incredible if a manipulated version of a virus, which your body in optimum conditions would most likely defend with no problem, could trigger an immune response that is not as severe as a typical one, and impart immunity with very few side effects or human cost. That sounds amazing. But does it really work that way? Can we really have our cake and eat it too? Can we inject all kinds of genetically modified viruses grown in animal tissue directly into our children's blood and expect nothing but good things to happen? Are we that intelligent? Do we really understand the unintended consequences we may be creating? Shouldn't we be perhaps a little scared? A little fearful? You should read Jurassic Park. The book, not the movie. There are some profound conversations.
All right, that's Forrest from Radio. I got another call coming in, Greg. So can I thank you for calling and take that call?
Of course. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks so much, Greg, for calling in. Okay.
Hold time, 22 seconds.
Another caller in, or where are you calling from, please? And what's your first name?
It's Jeff from Atlanta.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you just asked if there was any new stories, and I did hear of someone in their 50s that passed away recently for no apparent reason.
Okay.
But
Someone you knew?
No, it was a co-worker's brother, so I couldn't really get any more information than if they had been vaxxed or not, but just the age I thought was very young.
Yeah, for sure.
Description of their lifestyle seemed like they were otherwise healthy.
Yeah, and how do you even get the answer when no one wants it? Even if
exactly,
you were related to the person, this is the absolute quandary anyone that's trying to do any kind of investigation is in. You're just not going to get the answer.
And that's the other thing is, you and Greg were talking about, is where's the proof? Yeah, there is no proof. I mean, yeah, it's a correlation, but
yeah,
I don't know how you would prove accumulation of poison over time, right?
No, it's pretty impossible.
Yeah, but even if someone wanted to prove it, I don't know that they could.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult.
And I like what Greg was saying about the no virus, that there's no proof of viruses, and I agree with them on that. I just had a question though, I can't explain because this actually happened to me. A string of sicknesses went through different family members. And I just happened to be one of them. Like, I picked up my brother-in-law from the airport, and he was sick. And probably a day or two later, I got sick. It was during, like, a holiday. So we went to, you know, I think it was a Christmas party or Thanksgiving party or something like that. And then a couple of people from there also got sick. And the eldest of the family, like the grandmother, ended up passing away after her sickness. And I don't believe in contagion, but I just don't know how to explain that. Like, it seems like there's something, you know, something we don't know. That,
yeah, it could be, yeah. But again, did you watch Alex Zek just list off?
Yeah, I've watched his videos before.
Yeah.
And,
so that's,
I agree with most everything he says.
Yeah. So there's some, that's really something. We don't think we want one thing. We don't want to examine the 45 things.
And right.
And there's many things we're not sure about, where there is no research. A lot of invisible things that are floating around, like RF waves. I mean, it is true that in the last 20 to 25 years, we've been bombarded with more RF waves than ever before. And we are electrical beings, but no one is really studying it to any way. How could you study it? You'd literally have to put someone in an RF-free environment for such a long time, and that's just not possible, is it?
It's not, but I did read The Invisible Rainbow. In that book, there are a lot of studies that were done regarding radio waves, and because they built, you know, I wouldn't say they were looking to study it, but the data that came back from like small towns that were isolated until they put a radio tower on the mountain behind their village, and then a lot of people got sick. Again, it's, you know, is that what caused it, or is it just, you know, coincidence, I guess? But then, you know, it doesn't explain why everyone doesn't get sick. So it was interesting. There was a lot of data and a lot of, I guess, footnotes to scientific studies that it does affect us, but it did also kind of allude to what I got from it, was that some people aren't affected as harshly as others. Mm-hmm. So that would explain.
Well, there are people that are healthier than others too.
And some people would just adjust to it probably more quickly, and it's probably the same with shots.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just more
resilient,
more allergic to certain things. Yeah.
Every one of us is so different. Even though if we're exposed to the same things, the longer we've lived, the more things we've been exposed to, we're all extremely different. But I suppose if we're all exposed to toxic water, and there's enough toxin in the water, then it could get a bunch of us at once, especially the weaker ones in the herd. Yeah, this is why this is the perfect weapon to use against people. It's just going to be really hard to prove.
Oh, yeah. I did my own little study at my house past few times. My wife or kid would get sick with, quote-unquote, a virus. I would, if they were eating soup, I would eat out of their bowl using their spoon after they were done with it, and drink after their, you know, their drinks. You know, just, and I wouldn't avoid them. I would stay in the same room extended periods of time. But I never got sick.
Well, the easiest way to look at it is doctors see sick people usually all day long. How do they do their job?
Right.
How do
exactly.
they?
Exactly. Yeah.
My doctor didn't even wear a lab coat, let alone a mask, when I used to see him. How could he do his job day in and day out? He was always there. So.
Yeah, they would, whether they want to admit it or not, they would know just from their own observation of time that.
Yeah.
If contagion was true, they would never make it to work half the year probably.
That's it. Okay, Jeff, I got one more call, and then I want to wrap her up. But thank you so much for calling.
Sure. Have a good
night. I'll see you on the audio chat. All right, have a good one.
All right.
One more caller in her.
Hold time, 10 minutes, 23 seconds.
Hello, caller. Where are you calling from, and what's your first name?
My first name is Jenna, and I'm calling from Olympia, Washington.
Oh, hi, Jenna. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Well, this is all on, this is like foremost on my research this week.
Okay.
And focus.
What's that?
Drumming up Dr. Martin Paul, and all of the studies that he's mentioned in the past interviews, because I've listened to a lot of them, like putting mice in a cell phone antenna park and exposure levels increase, and after a certain amount of time, sperm count declines, and then, you know, the pathways of how it affects biology. So I do want to mention Dr. Martin Paul, and guess what? I'm going to interview him and Dr. Kevin McCarron, who is talking about, yes, as a scientist at the bench, he will say there's an amyloidogenic prion misfolding that is associated with the long COVID. Also, the COVID virus, he's saying it does exist,
yeah.
But at the same time, I go ahead and I look up a paper that says prion disease, like the chronic wasting disease in deer and also mad cow disease, that's prion misfolding. Well, it turns out there's papers published on EMFs and prions misfolding. Oh, my God. So I'm going to bring this subject up between these two scientists, and we're going to throw all the papers at the walls, because
okay.
That's what they do. They interpret papers.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that this, the how we can describe why some populations are starting to get Alzheimer's in their 40s, and ALS, and what is this? This Khrushchev-Yakov disease?
Yeah.
CJD? It's awful. But the onset, according to Kevin McCarron, in the timeline of the COVID era since 2020, there has been an increase of 233% more CJV cases on record. So the neurological issues we can attribute to EMFs, but then there's also this misfolding protein subject, and I'd like to explore that more, and I hope other people have that on their minds.
When are you doing that show, and where can we listen?
Okay, well, I'll be on RBN this Saturday, 5 to 7 Pacific. I fill in on Immunize Wisely now and again. And so those two scientists will be my guests. And I will send you the link because it's easier to scroll through all the commercials. But if anybody wants to check out the other interview that we set up with Kevin McCarron, he was with Chris Hinckley, Road Warrior Radio, and that link can be found at We Talk, You Listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a platform that, you know, at least, like, because apparently right off in 2019, he was censored right off the bat. And I think that there were some scientists that were trying to get their, that had scientific background, had mm-hmm. worked in labs, knew that there was some experimentation already happening with prions and injecting them into mice, and had their strong opinions about the lipid nanoparticles and the RNA, and knew the whole background, and knew that was a bad idea, and
yeah.
knew that they were two lost causes that they were putting out to the public as safe and effective. So as far as me knowing anyone with vaccine injury, my dear sister.
Okay.
She rushed. Yep. And she won't admit it. She still has a frozen shoulder. from like 3 years ago, and she won't admit it was from rushing the third booster.
Right.
So, and then along with that, the menstrual things. Like, I don't need to get into detail, but it was evident, and I'm just like, are you kidding? Report this as a vaccine injury. And she's like, oh, no. Not, you know. Because I think the VAERS system is underutilized, and, you know, people willing to admit, oh, I made a mistake, and I'm suffering.
Yeah.
Silently suffering.
Yes, yes.
That's unfortunate.
I bet you most people don't use the VAERS system. Like, who's going to go to the trouble? The doctors aren't going to do it. They don't get paid. They get paid by the second for everything they do. Do you think anyone doctor is going to take half an hour to fill out a report that is very shaky? And number two, he's probably going to get a hard time over if he keeps doing it. I would say no one's using it.
No, because I guess it takes like 30 to 40 minutes and it's complicated to fill it all out. So, no, yeah.
Upside. He doesn't get paid. Come on. These doctors make a lot of money and they have to... They're back-to-back-to-back-to-back appointments. They're not going to break into their day to do that. So I bet you no one's filling it out. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yep. And if, mm-hmm. Well, I guess I have one more little story. Unless you have another call, I'll let you go.
No. Give me one more story, and then I'm going to wrap her up, because I only want to do an hour.
Okay, very good. I raised my son no vaccines, and then he decided to sign up for the U.S. military. And, you know, they had to go through a lot of vaccines coming into boot camp. Yeah. And within 2 weeks, he was hospitalized. And I'm
Is there any way to avoid that in the military?
No. I mean, and I was sending letters. I was like, you can exempt out, opt out. But it would take a lot of effort and focus, and you'd be different. And he wanted to assimilate and fit right in.
God, that's so hard, isn't it?
And while he was stationed in Georgia at the tri-nuclear submarine base, the vid went all the way through. And let's see, he was quarantined probably about 6 weeks and had to go through testing every week. And there was at one point where he tested positive. He said, I'm slightly ill. I just can't smell or taste. But he ended up signing up and getting, well, he didn't have, like, he volunteered, actually, to get the COVID vaccine, even though I sent letters, and they were returned, opened. I sent letters because I had no communication. He couldn't use a phone.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was really sad about that. But so
And
far,
how healthy was he? So you didn't give him any vaccines as a child?
One time, gosh darn it, he stepped on a nail when he was about 5.
Oh, he did the tetanus.
And there was a horse ring right next door where he stepped on that nail, and everyone's like, oh, you got to do this. And I didn't know you could just get tetanus without the MMR or the other one. But he got that injection, and that summer before school, I remember he was having seizures where I was watching his eyes roll. I had no idea. And I'm only connecting this now of that's what happened. And then he had this awful rash all through kindergarten. So now I'm just like, oh, it was that. So that was the only one that he did get. And then, this is all on Zadi. My son's name is Zadi. He just got out of the military after serving his 5 years. And it was January 13th. They didn't call me to tell me because I'm the mom. But he went to the ER with chest pains and rapid heart rate. And that was just last month.
Oh, no.
So he's 22.
How many shots did you think he got for the COVID?
He didn't tell me, but at least two.
At least two, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
And so they attributed it to, you must have just, because he goes to the gym, he works out, he was a Marine, so he's massive. But they attributed the chest pains because he, you know, overdid it in the gym, and that's what he wants to believe.
Yeah,
and I'm
of course.
Just holding my breath. I'm just holding my breath, hoping that he's going to work it out. We don't know.
Well, fingers crossed for you. That's a pretty annoying story. You did your best your whole life, and then what can you do? He's his own person. He doesn't want to listen to mom. And he gets coerced by the military as well. That's got to be the worst place to try and avoid a vaccine. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I will email the Kevin McCarron interview to you, and you can put it up if you want.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jenna.
Sure.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in. Sorry to keep you holding for too long.
No worries. I enjoy your show. Keep it up. Thank you.
And thank you, Jenna. Say hi to Brian.
Mm-hmm. I sure will. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. There goes Jenna. Okay, there goes me. That's it for the show. Thank you so much for listening. And we will bring back the old Everybody Knows theme song again. And we'll have to get better advertising. But I appreciate you regular callers, Greg and Jenna and Jeff. You guys are all terrific. I really appreciate you chipping in with your stories. I want to get new people on, but it's going to be... We're going to have to put out an effort to get the phone number out there, but I still think it's an interesting topic. And I don't really talk about vaccines on the Fakeologist show during the week. So I limit it to Monday. And there is a lot. So we'll keep this thing going. We'll keep it going for a few more weeks, see how it works out. I do have a separate blog, allshotsclot.com, so hopefully that will get some traction. So if you want to retweet it or share it, please do. All the audios are there. It's the same format as the Fakeologist site. You can easily download everything. You can go to allshotsclot.com or just type All Shots Clot rather in your favorite podcast player and you should find it. And of course there's no paywall and it's free. It's all value for value. Pay whatever you think the show is worth, even if it's a dollar. I really appreciate it. Alright, tomorrow is Tuesday. It's the Lynn Ertel show. I have no idea what she's going to talk about, but we do about an hour on Tuesdays with Lynn. And it's always entertaining. There's always some technical glitch to get her worked up. So hopefully you can join in tomorrow. And we'll take calls tomorrow as well. And we do have a voice line, a voicemail that you can leave your voicemails on if you want to do that. You can email me at ima@fakeologist.com. And if you have a question for Lynn, it's lynn@fakeologist.com as well. If you want to email her a question. And that is it. I'm going to go finish maybe watching some grown men skate around on frozen ponds. Anyway, thanks everyone for joining. We will talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.